It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Recession jitters. President Trump said to be rattled as economic alarm bells cause a wild week on Wall Street.
There are indicators that the U.S. could be headed for a recession.
There are some rough waters ahead, maybe a recession.
Fears of a coming recession spiked on the heels of a key economic indicator, what's called an inverted yield curve.
The yield curve has inverted before every U.S. recession since 1955.
They say potential recession on the horizon.
Recession.
Thank you, MSNBC, CNN, and all the others who told us just what a few months ago we were headed for recession. That's the way they reported the economy under President Trump. And yet yesterday, the Dow gained 10,000 points since the Trump's election. Stock market has been unstoppable under the influence of President Trump. The Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed 28,332.74 on Monday, meaning it has rallied 10,000 points, more than 54% since Trump's election victory on November the 8th. The benchmark S&P 500 has gained more than 46%. And I'm reading from U.S. markets. The gains show us why U.S. markets have become the envy of the world under Trump, who has followed through on his promises of cutting taxes and regulations and rewriting global trade deals in America's favor. I just wanted to share that with you. I am not in the camp that thinks because the economy is good, nothing that the president does matters. This is just one more thing that he is overseeing that is just off the charts incredible. And yet the mainstream press is just not reporting this. Pete Marici, who is an economist, was on Fox and Friends this morning, and this is how he sort of explained that. Let's listen. Clip 10.
People like Paul Krugman and the folks you saw there are liberal Democrats. They don't like Donald Trump, and the tribe decided to cook up a scenario, basically talk the economy down. They were basically letting their politics get in the way of their economics. Data, reasoning, the history of tax cuts and deregulation were irrelevant to people. The trade tariffs with China were not a mistake. They were only polemically used by those liberal economists to basically trash the president. The tariffs on Mexico hurt Mexico. They didn't hurt the United States. They brought Mexico to the negotiating table, and now we're getting a better deal. The reality is his policies do work.
Yeah, so, yes, his policies do work, but the networks just won't give him that. I want to tell you, I have a blitz of stories to tell you in this opening segment, so bear with me as I try to make this fast but clear. This is an interesting article by Jeff Reynolds, and the title is The Greatest Miracle of All. President Trump has completely revamped the Ninth Circuit Court. I'm not a religious man, but what happened to the makeup of the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit over the past few years could drive me to prayerful gratitude. Indeed, many have believed for years that nothing short of divine intervention or disbanding the Ninth Circuit altogether could save us from this anti-constitutional monstrosity with such a dismal track record on appeal at the Supreme Court. Long dominated by liberal justices appointed by presidents from the Democratic Party, the Ninth Circuit has not exactly enjoyed a lot of success when the decisions get appealed to the Supreme Court. As of 2018, the Supreme Court has overturned an eye-popping 115 cases in the previous decade referred from the Ninth Circuit. It's a 76% overturn rate. Covering 9 western states, along with the territorial courts of Guam and North Mariana Islands, the Ninth Circuit handles a massive caseload and refers 3 times the number of cases to SCOTUS as the next most active court. During the Trump administration, however, the Ninth Circuit has undergone a massive overhaul. This Ninth Circuit includes 13 district courts, presided over by a total of 112 judges. The Circuit Court of Appeals, in turn, has 29 justices, meaning that 15 constitute a majority. As of November, President Trump has appointed 8 new justices to vacancies on the Circuit Court. This is just an amazing story. We used to call the Ninth Circuit Court the circus, the Ninth Circus. That was what it's known by conservative legal circles. So that's just been one other accomplishment of President Trump. I want to share with you this. The president, in spite of the Fox poll, by the way, I looked at the numbers on the Fox poll that's been reported. I was duck-duck-going this yesterday, and all these media outlets were picking up the Fox poll that said 50% of the people still support impeachment. And I thought, you know, I know that Fox's pollsters are bad. They do a very bad job. Their sample is bad, so I finally thought I'm going to have to look down myself to the sample, and it's like 1,000 people randomly called. Not 1,000. Oh, I think they are registered voters. 1,000 registered voters. Okay, but randomly called. That means they didn't check how much of one party or another party or independent. Just 1,000 people who are registered voters randomly called. That's a terrible sample for figuring out how Americans really feel. Because how do you know? It's a very unsophisticated sample. So let me give you a couple of other polls this morning. The president has hit the highest approval rating he's had since he has become president. Voters are more positive about the economy than any time in 18 years. A Quinnipiac University poll found a majority, 51%, oppose impeachment, 45% say he should be ousted. That's different, significantly by about 5 or 6 points from the Fox poll, and that's just one. In our NPR and PBS, not exactly conservative bastions, released a poll Monday and found more opponents than supporters of impeachment. The margin for their poll was tighter. It's only 1 point, but nevertheless, it really does not match with the Fox poll. And so I'm just telling you, I just don't trust the Fox polls anymore. Just don't. CNN poll shows support for impeachment and removal at 45%, opposition at 47%. So, and a Real Clear Politics average has about at 1 point, those who support the president are behind those who oppose it by about 1 point, same as the others in general. But you see that we're not really getting the truth from Fox and their polls right now. This is a really interesting story that you may not hear other places. Well, not this morning anyway. Women for America First, they're a pro-Trump women's group, and they had a meeting at the Willard Hotel in Washington. I think it was last night. I think this is a report from last night. Now, the Willard is one of the most gorgeous hotels in D.C. It's close to the White House. I've been there so many times. The ballrooms are just exquisite, and it's a very key place. It has been there for over 100 years, I think maybe a couple of 100 years, and it is beautiful. That's all I can say. It's very elegant, not known for, you know, being torn apart by protesters. And yet what happened was the Women for America First, the pro-Trump women group, was meeting. Their speaker was Jonathan Gilliam, a former Navy SEAL. Meanwhile, across the hallway or in close proximity was a wedding that was attended by high-ranking members of the DNC. And so this is what a woman whose name is Ann Vandersteel posted to sort of tell what happened. She said, last night at the Willard Hotel, there was a wedding with DNC people attending. As soon as they found out that Women for America First were having an event to support the POTUS, they immediately started to taunt women in the bathroom, calling them MAGA sluts, MAGA trash, and a word that I cannot repeat. They kept trying to infiltrate the private event multiple times, doing fake bids on auction items and harassing people, including a 16-year-old minor. When it became clear it wasn't going to stop, hotel security was called, and John Gilliam, the SEAL, and other men from the event began escorting the women away from the event safely. Because men and women from the wedding were taunting the MAGA women. They were saying only people who care about their ovaries can ride the elevator. And they were barring conservatives from getting on the elevator and making insults as Trump supporters. They called them Nazis, fascists, and bigots. The SEAL, John Gilliam, was escorting women up the stairs. And a group for the wedding started harassing him and saying, "You must be a tough guy with that haircut. Wouldn't allow our group forward, blocking us." One man kept coming up in Jonathan's face, instigating I think she says trouble. The Trump supporting women's safety were at risk because the guy came at Jonathan and he was blocking the exit. Jonathan tried to get the women to safety by clearing a path, and 4 to 6 men jumped on him. It's reported that, of course, according to this, that he was injured. And so I think there was an arrest and there were photos posted. This is at the Willard Hotel, the bastion of civility and beauty in Washington, really. It's really, like I said, very close to the White House. And let me repeat, they think that there were high-level Democrats at that wedding, and they're trying to figure out who their names are right now to report that. So you will be hearing about that. There was a great article in One News Now about Hallmark's surrendering to pressures from homosexual groups after agreeing with our subgroup, 1 Million Moms, that they would stop running this commercial, which was a feature, that's a wedding planner commercial where lesbians kiss at the end, and also the lesbian content, the homosexual content and some of their stories. No one's talking about that. They're actually having that too. And I think I heard someone say there was a kiss in one of the movies, and people are watching Hallmark because Hallmark is the last bastion of family values. It really is. And this is a very sad loss. So Hallmark switched their position overnight on Sunday. I told you about that yesterday. We understand that they got criticism from Ellen DeGeneres, a criticism from William Shatner, and they started this hashtag boycott Hallmark channel, and so they caved. And it's a very sad situation. They're going to be now working in the future with GLAAD to better represent the LGBTQ community. That's not just a cave. That's an all-out embrace of really things bad. I have to say, how many Hallmark movies do you think Ellen DeGeneres and William Shatner sit down and watch? I'd say precious few, because it'd probably be too sickening for them to watch real families, intact families, and the innocence of it. No sexual content. I can't imagine them enjoying it for very long, or very many liberals, and yet they have now destroyed the one channel that many families feel that they could still watch. Be sure and go to our 1millionmoms.org and sign our petition against Hallmark, 1millionmoms.com, 1millionmoms.com. We'll put it back on our Facebook page, plus a link to this One News Now article. Okay, bad news for General Flynn last night. This just makes me sick, I have to tell you. The judge in this case, Judge Sullivan, Emmett Sullivan, has denied the plea from Sidney Powell, or the motion from Sidney Powell, that much of the material was not revealed, that the FBI set him up, that there was a change of evidence, and it goes back to before the surveillance was illegal. It started before Flynn was ever charged with anything. The judge has just denied everything. And a set sentencing for, I think it's January 28th. I'm just heartsick about this. Perhaps I'll have someone on to talk about that at greater length, but I wanted you to know that's breaking as of last night. Planned Parenthood is in the news. Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles has decided to create a safe space in 50 Los Angeles high schools. Now, this is, honestly, I have to tell you, this is not new. Planned Parenthood has done this around the country, where they'll build like clinics right across the street from the school, so that it's convenient, so girls can get there more quickly, and they can have comfort. I said in one of these tweets, it says something about, the centers include reproductive health clinics where students can get birth control pills and condoms. And California law, by the way, allows minors older than 12 to obtain contraceptives without parental consent. And so they can just walk across the street over their lunch break and get counseling. Planned Parenthood says on Friday, students can see a Planned Parenthood nurse or physician assistant in a modular clinic with an exam table, thick makeshift walls, and a white noise machine for privacy. They'll be greeted by cute stuffed sloths with a soft blanket on comfy chairs, pushed together to resemble a sofa. Signs in the room promise a safe space and an explanation of what defines sexual consent, which is freely given, reversible, informed, enthusiastic, and specific. So that's Planned Parenthood. That's why we fight them. We want them defunded. That's why we're happy that President Trump has, as far as he's been able with executive orders and through one of his agencies, has cut funding for Planned Parenthood so consistently. While all of this impeachment nonsense has been going on, the House of Representatives has passed a few bills. You'll be happy to know that they're busy at work, and we're going to talk about one of those dastardly things they've been working on when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning.
You know, most tours of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., don't include the spiritual heritage of our country, the Christian history of our nation, the people, the places, the events that God used to birth America. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. My friend, historian Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, goes with us on these tours, and he talks all along the way. He tells you about the people, the places, the events, and he does so from a Christian perspective. So you're invited to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours in 2020 in June and September. We also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour if you want to do that as well. So for all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, simply the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for John Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States. He is the highest ranking officer of the federal judiciary. Romans 13:1 reminds us of the importance of obeying the law. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Justice Roberts as he leads the Supreme Court. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Request your copy of our 2020 Prayer Journal, available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
There is growing concern in the Commonwealth of Virginia over a looming crackdown on gun ownership. Democrats control every seat of power in Virginia, and Governor Ralph Northam is vowing to go after law-abiding gun owners. At least 75 counties have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. One sheriff said he might deputize gun owners in a way to get around any gun confiscation efforts. And now Democrats are fighting back. Congressman Donald McEachin suggested the governor should call out the National Guard to enforce the law, and Governor Northam issued a threat as well, saying any locality that refuses to enforce gun laws will face consequences. One measure would require gun owners to either register their current weapons with the state or else they would be confiscated. Clearly, there are troubling days ahead for the Commonwealth, and there will be no doubt a clash of ideas, because I don't know of a single red-blooded American who would willingly turn over their weapons to the government. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Knew it had to happen. Members of Congress passing new legislation that would put more than a million illegal immigrants on a pathway to citizenship. The bill is H.R. 5038. It's called the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. It provides a process for illegal farm workers to seek a 5.5-year certified agricultural worker status. Those working under that designation could then move on to get a green card. The bill passed Wednesday, 260 to 165, 34 Republicans helping out.
All right, that was Lou Dobbs, and he's telling you what the Congress has been doing. We've been talking about impeachment, and that's been the total focus of the House of Representatives, except that behind the scenes, they've also been passing some bills. There's talk about that Canada-Mexico trade agreement, and I have to tell you that in many ways, that's a nightmare for us, too, because the Democrats have pretty much gotten everything they wanted in order for them to actually push that bill through. And I'm reading this morning that they have really big plans for us after the Christmas holidays and when the impeachment goes to the Senate. They've got some very important bills they want to discuss and get passed because they never stop doing the things that they do. And they have a great method. When they go to the Senate pretty much caves and gives them everything they want. And in the House, they have complete control. But what's happening with immigration? What's happening at the border? What's happening? Nothing? Anything? Something? Well, Dave Ray is joining us this morning. And, of course, Dave is the communications director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Good friends of mine. I've been working with them, for a long, long time at their radio row for probably 15 years. But, Dave, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet, Sandy. Great to be with you.
All right. I want to ask you just some fundamental questions. What is happening right now at our border? It was making news. I talked about it constantly for months, but I haven't spoken of it lately. So what's going on down there?
Well, you know, FAIR actually dispatches media teams to the border several times a year. We were actually at the Arizona-Mexico border at the beginning of this month and toured the border with the Border Patrol, with Customs, and with local sheriffs. You know, that was really the reason why we chose that part of the border is, if you recall, about a month ago, I mean, the Sinaloa drug cartel that controls most of northern Mexico had really been flexing its muscle. You recall the assassination of the nine Americans about 50 miles south of Nogales, Arizona, and then there was another huge gunfight just across the border from Texas in a northern Mexico town between the drug cartel and the police officials of that town. But so a lot of the pressure has been pushed in terms of illegal immigration and drug smuggling to the Arizona border. We went down for a quick visit. We found some good things and some bad things. I'll start with the bad things. First of all, the border wall where it exists is working splendidly, and that's not a bad thing. But the Border Patrol, by and large, when asked about the border wall, are extremely positive about it, that it saves their lives. It does deter illegal immigration. The bad part is that it just suddenly ends. This one specific place we were taken was outside of the little border town of Sasebo, Arizona, and you walk just 2.6 miles west of the port of entry there, and this great border wall that is, you know, probably nearly 20 feet high and made of metal and see-through just as the Border Patrol would like it, ends and is attached to a rickety old barbed wire fence that a five-year-old could step over, but it's attached to it by a piece of rope. So it's kind of a bit of a joke. The point being that we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. Where the border wall has been put in, and there's been about 100 miles of new border wall put in thus far under the Trump administration, it is working splendidly. And So that was really, you know, a good and a bad thing that we found.
Yeah, Dave, my understanding, but of course we've had judges rule in the last few weeks, and I've been so busy covering impeachment and all the other things that. But a couple of judges have ruled against the president on spending some of that Pentagon money on the border wall. We just keep continuing.
Right.
Having problems with judges stopping. And also, you know, that group that's independently building the wall, that the name I can't remember.
Yeah, they're called We Build the Wall.
Yes. Yeah, so what happened with that? They continued anyway, right?
They're building wall as well, and it's on private land. So when I give you the statistics about 100 miles of wall, that's just what the government has built. I mean, I saw it being built with my own eyes when I was in the San Diego sector about this time last year. So a new wall is going up. There's going to be ongoing battles with the courts. I mean, anytime President Trump tries to do something, the ACLU is waiting on the sidelines with a lawsuit to file, and they're filing it in the New York Minute to try to stop anything and everything that he does. But he is going to prevail in this. This is within his constitutional constitutional authority. Remember, he declared a border emergency shortly after he came into office, and that does give him fairly sweeping powers in terms of redirecting certain Pentagon funds. So, yes, he's going to have some lawyers to fight, but in the long run, we truly believe he's going to prevail. And so one thing that we found that was very uplifting was we met with the Cochise County Sheriff's Department, and Cochise County is right on the Arizona-Mexico border in the southeast corner of Arizona. And this sheriff's department has worked just really hand-in-hand with federal immigration agents in trying to secure the border against illegal immigration and narcotic smuggling. They were actually able to go out and secure private funding, funding for the installation of up to 1,000 remote hidden cameras in some of these high traffic areas, cameras that are so well hidden they can't be seen by the illegal immigrants. And they are able to monitor these cameras in real time and see illegal aliens as they come in, or drug smugglers, and alert the Border Patrol not only to how many are coming, but what direction they're heading and what they're wearing. That's just a wonderful example of how state and local law enforcement can work hand-in-hand with federal immigration enforcement to form really a web of protection for the American people.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's turn our attention to Congress now, because we mentioned Lou Dobbs kind of explained the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which was passed. Now, this is not new news. It passed last week, didn't it, or 2 weeks ago?
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
so
last week.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So tell us about that. Expand on that. Why this isn't? That sounds like a really good bill, doesn't it? The Farm Workforce Modernization Act. Why is that not such a good idea, Dave?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about a misnomer, Farm Workforce Modernization Act. First of all, it's ironic that the day after the Trump administration announced that for the 6 months in a row, we have seen a reduction in border apprehensions from 144,000 people in May to 42,000 in November. So it's been a huge reduction in apprehensions. In other words, our enforcement efforts at the border are working. The asylum loopholes we're closing are working. The day after they announced that, the Democrat Congress takes a break from impeachment and goes and passes, with the help of a handful of Republicans, the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. Let me tell you why this isn't modern, why this isn't a form of modernization. What it does is it basically legalizes 1.5 million illegal alien farm workers so long as they work for a single farmer or farm operation for the next 10 years. After that point, they can be given a green card, and then they can move on in their lives and get other jobs. But the point is, this is indentured servitude. This is something the country got away from a long time ago. Agriculture realizes that their illegal alien workforce is only working for them because they don't have any other opportunities, and that as soon as they possibly can, they will leave agriculture, or at least most of them will. So that's why these folks are tied to these farmers with very little ability to negotiate about wages or working conditions, but tied to these farmers for a decade. So this is not modernization. This is indentured servitude. While other countries move towards mechanization in agriculture, the United States moves towards indentured servitude.
All right, so Dave, let me just say,
this will also expand other green card categories. And really, the big thing is it does nothing really for enforcement. So it's a giveaway to cheap labor and to the illegal alien lobby. And those of us who care about the enforcement side of immigration really get nothing out of it.
Yes, and so the Democrats' motivation, of course, is always more voters, but they're also tied to big business. Now, I'm guessing that this, the, what, 45, however many Republicans joined the Democrats, this is a hat tip to big business for cheap labor, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, let's not forget that the Wall Street wing of the Republican Party, which, you know, for a long time was in control of the party, loves its cheap labor. And, you know, the Wall Street Journal, most people don't realize this, is probably 25 to 30 years ago called for a five-word constitutional amendment. There shall be open borders. I mean, that is a fact. And so that's how they see the world. And the view of the Wall Street Journal, the more workers we have for the, and the lower their wages, the better off businesses. Well, that might be the way they want to run their business, but that's not necessarily the way we want to run our country. Let me throw in another fact here, though, Sandy. According to Pew Research, and Pew is no right-wing research organization, it's pretty much right down the middle, they found that 82% of farm workers in the United States, this is going to shock a lot of people because we're told farm labor and cleaning services and guys who pick up garbage, all these things are jobs that Americans won't do. 82% of farm workers in the United States are either U.S. citizens or legal residents. What does that mean? When you have an amnesty for illegal aliens working in these fields, all you're doing is driving down the wages and working conditions for the Americans and legal immigrants who are already there. Why is a farmer going to pay a U.S. citizen and a legal resident better wages and working conditions when they can get their hands on the 1.5 million newly legalized illegal alien workers? So this is not only not a form of modernization in agriculture, but it's actually hurting working Americans who are in those fields and have been in those fields by choice.
Hey, Dave, we just have a minute. We just have about 2 minutes left. So the Senate, I'm assuming this is not going to pass the Senate.
We think it would be a heavy lift for this to pass the Senate. We have not heard any indication that there's any interest in the Senate in passing this bill. As you mentioned, the Democrats like this because it's more voters. But the Senate, with President Trump in control, he is not going to kick big business everything it wants. We think there's it's going to be a real uphill battle to get this passed in the Senate, thankfully. And we don't see any sign that the president is going to be willing to sign this. But this was just an idea, just a nice idea for you that, you know, the party that wants to give free health care to illegal aliens, that wants to abolish ICE, that wants to delegalize criminal entry or make illegal immigration not illegal anymore. This is the same party that wants to pass mass amnesty. So keep that in mind. Next time you are thinking about political scenarios in Washington.
Yeah, totally. Dave, thanks so much. Federation for American Immigration Reform is on the cutting edge of what's going on. They've been a think tank in Washington for decades. And Dave is their communications director. He's new to this, probably almost a year now. But Dave, it's nice to have you. And we appreciate that good report. And we'll talk again to you soon. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you bet, Sandy. Merry Christmas. Have a great day.
Same to you. Thank you, Dave. You know, there's another story in immigration coming out of New York. The end of this month, almost all criminals arrested for state crimes in New York, including sex crimes, will be released without posting bail. And also New York law that took effect this week, granting driver's licenses to illegal aliens and blocking ICE access to criminal enforcement information. That goes into effect as well. So any and all illegal aliens without or with criminal records will be able to apply for driver's licenses as documentation. They can use consular cards. They can use foreign birth certificates. They can even use border crossing cards. It's called the Green Light Law. And I think there's another state in the Northeast that's getting ready to give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Also, this is putting all of us at risk. There's just no question about it. How can this be? Why can't all of us just go in and get driver's licenses without much documentation? Why should we give them special bits dispensation to get them just because they ask for them? I don't get that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So the chief priest made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. After Jesus resurrected Lazarus, his and Lazarus's fame spread. They already planned to kill Jesus, but now, because Lazarus was tangible evidence of Jesus' resurrection power, the chief priests and Pharisees plotted to kill Lazarus too. They never worried about Lazarus before, but now, because he is a walking billboard of Christ's power, they want him dead too. This, brothers and sisters, is why many come against you. It isn't personal, but satanic forces can't stand your representation of God's power to transform lives. That's why we rejoice when we're slandered for his name's sake. Christ's power is on display.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
You want to make sure that the person you're dating and ultimately the person you marry, whoever that is, loves Jesus more than they love you.
That doesn't mean that they're perfect. In fact, that means that they're imperfect. If they were perfect, they would have no use for Jesus. Jesus would not have any salvation off them. They're not perfect. They rest on him.
Engage Magazine, website and podcast. Learn more at engagemagazine.net.
Your relationship with Christ is the primary.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, has given more than $1.5 billion to the baby butchers at Planned Parenthood. In the last two decades, he has paid for 2.7 million abortions. In Dante's Inferno, the seventh circle of hell is reserved for those who committed sins of violence and murder in this life. In 1984, former abortionist Bernard Nathanson produced a documentary, The Silent Scream, which showed a baby in the womb opening his mouth in a silent scream as the abortionist began his horrible work. When Buffett stands before the judge of the living and the dead, the screams will no longer be silent. It may be that Buffett will spend eternity listening to the screams and the shrieks of the millions of babies whose blood is on his head. Perhaps that's what Jesus meant by weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Tomorrow, the U.S. House of Representatives is scheduled to vote to impeach Donald Trump. All other things being equal, it appears that enough Democrats will concur. All other things must not be equal, however. Every legislator is now on notice that should they cast votes on the basis exclusively of the information curated, distorted, and manufactured by Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, they will be violating their oaths of office, not, as the Democrats claim, courageously fulfilling them. One America News Network obtained firsthand testimony from Ukrainian witnesses Schiff chose not to call. Under questioning by Rudy Giuliani, a former federal prosecutor retained as Mr. Trump's personal lawyer, it's clear impeachable bribery occurred, all right, but it was Joe Biden who engaged in it, not the president. The facts at OAN.com must inform tomorrow's vote. Otherwise, it will be a miscarriage of justice. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Everybody.
Shall be
exalted, 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 shall be exalted.
With a full House set to vote on the articles of impeachment as soon as Wednesday, the time is coming for Democrats sitting on the fence to pick a side.
I will be voting yes on obstruction of Congress.
Swing District Democrat Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan told her constituents today at a town hall.
I made this decision out of principle and out of a duty to protect and defend the Constitution. I feel that in my bones, and I will stick to that regardless of what it does to me politically.
Utah's Ben McAdams says he's also a yes, but recognizes it won't remove the president from office.
The Senate will likely acquit the president in a display of partisan theater that Republicans and Democrats in Washington perform disturbingly well.
Since the GOP appears to be unified, a Republican on the Judiciary and Intelligence Committee says pressure is on Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her team.
The vote will be on Wednesday, despite what a Democratic scholar called the fastest, thinnest, weakest impeachment in U.S. history. And the real question is, how big will the jailbreak be by the Democrats?
One Democrat who has been a no on impeachment is not expected to be a Democrat for long. New Jersey's Jeff Andrews expected to become a Republican, and at least five senior aides quickly resigned. On the Senate side, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer is proposing his wish list for a Senate trial that would begin the first full week of January, with having the case presentation start January 9th, then giving 24 hours to each side for opening statements and rebuttals, and 16 hours for questioning by senators, and concluding with 24 hours of deliberations.
If Leader McConnell doesn't hold a full and fair trial, the American people will rightly ask, what are you, Leader McConnell, and what is President Trump hiding?
Fox has confirmed a push by more than 30 freshman Democrats in the House, led by Minnesota's Dean Phillips, to have Republican-turned-independent Justin Amash serve as one of the impeachment managers in the Senate trial.
The suggestion being that Amash could speak to conservatives in a way Democrats cannot, potentially strengthening the Democrats' argument with at least some of those voters.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Mike Emanuel on Fox, a special report last night on Fox, and he sort of laid it out. I mean, we think that the vote will take place on Wednesday in the full House. They're writing, kind of marking things up. That's their term for it. Today, the procedure, and then tomorrow or Thursday, but probably tomorrow, they will take that vote. So Mike kind of laid it out, but I think my understanding is of the 31 Democrats who won in 2016, in those states or districts carried by President Trump, only two of them have said that they will vote against impeachment. The rest of them either have said they will vote for impeachment or they are remaining silent. That's Jeff Van Drew, the one who is talking now about switching parties, and Colin Peterson from Minnesota. So you heard Elise Stotkin on, she's from Michigan. You heard her on Mike's report. This is a little different clip from a town hall that she did. And this is maybe a little bit better audio of how the audience responded to what she said. Let's listen. Clip four.
Keep Trump. Keep slacking. Keep Trump. Keep slacking.
You're the deep state.
Well, I'm thrilled to see such a great turnout today.
Let's please let her speak.
All right, that was Congressman Lisa Stotkin. That. The first voice on the microphone, not the last one. Elisa was one of, I think there are four women. I think there was four. One of them was the one that was elected in Dave Brett's 7th district in Virginia, who are former Spanberger, Abigail Spanberger. They were part of the CIA or the intelligence services. And I suspect they're going to all stick together. And I think what's happening here, remember that the Democrats can only lose 16 of their voters, or their members, and they won't pass. Impeachment won't pass if they lose 16. I still am praying that this will just fall apart tomorrow when they try to vote. I'm praying that there will be people in there that will surprise the Democrats, but I don't think it's, humanly, I don't think that's going to happen, but spiritually, I am praying that God would do that. I just think that would be a really complete rebuke to the leadership in the House, and it would spare us from having to go to the Senate, because I don't trust the Senate. I just don't trust them. I believe I've said that before, and I'll get to that. I have plenty to say about that, maybe not today, but as the days unfold here. But here's the thing. I think this is likely what's happening. I would imagine that Alyssa Slotkin and Abigail Spanberger and all those others in those tough districts are probably right now in rooms, maybe last week, because they don't wait till the last minute, being offered really wonderful kinds of other opportunities that will be lucrative, prestigious. If they just, you know, just vote for impeachment and then, hey, don't worry, we'll take care of you, wink, wink, nod, because that's what the left does. The right doesn't do that. If our people step out, or even if they fall in disgrace, or if they do something good, but the left hates them and they get hammered, we back away and they can't even find a job. So that's the way that happens. I hate that. I really do hate that. But not so the Democrats. They take care of their people. They make sure that they're employed. They circle the wagons, man. And I think you will see. But I'm predicting right now, just me. I don't know, not divine intervention. I don't have a word from the Lord. I'm just telling you, this is me. I think Alyssa Slotkin and the others will, you'll see them nominated to various things, and it's going to be some really good things, and they're going to be well rewarded for their vote for impeachment. Meanwhile, the guy from New Jersey, Representative Van Drew, is coming under scathing attack. Congressman Steve Cohen was on last night, and this is what he had to say.
I think Jeff Van Drew's making a serious mistake. I understand that he feels if he votes against impeachment, he'll lose in a Democratic primary. He could. But, you know, he got elected with Democratic votes under a Democratic banner, which he ran under for 30 years or so. I think he was a senator and a mayor and a representative and all. And he got Democratic money, including Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee money. And to turn and go to be a Republican, it's kind of strange. It's kind of, you know, I've heard of rats jumping off a sinking ship, but very few of them jump onto a sinking ship. The Republicans are in the minority. For his district, they, instead of having a congressman who's in the majority and can get something done for his district, they're going to have a congressman in the minority who can't get anything done. The lowest thing that there is in the Congress is somebody in the minority side who is a traitor to the majority.
So let me ask you, though,
for his district.
Beyond Van Drew and putting him aside, I mean, he may not be the only person who votes no on impeachment. As you know, there were two Democrats previously who voted against even doing the impeachment inquiry. So, again, same question. If the only bipartisan vote on impeachment is against impeachment, are you prepared for that?
I'm prepared for it, but I think what that says is how bad the Republicans have become.
All right, so, and on it goes. So you can imagine that Congressman Jeff Van Drew, who is currently a Democrat, considering becoming a Republican because he's not going to vote for impeachment, five of his staffers have resigned. He's going to pay a heavy price. I wonder if Justin Amash paid such a price, excuse me, when he left the Republican Party and became an independent in Michigan. We'll just see as this plays out. Meanwhile, as it moves to the Senate, we knew that when the trial, after they vote in the House to bring, this is, again, think of the House as a grand jury. And think of a grand jury hearing evidence. That's what they've been doing, hearing evidence. And then now the vote Wednesday will be whether to bring charges. Okay, so that's what that really means. It's patterned after the jury system. And so then if the charges are brought, that means the president would be the equivalent of being indicted, but they would call it impeached. And then we go to the Senate where the trial is held. Okay, so, and the senators would be the jury. So that's how this works. But naturally, Mitch McConnell has announced that the president will not be impeached. He's talked about the fact that he's talking to the president's lawyers. And, of course, the resultant from that is Zoe Lofgren was on CNN, and this is she's a congressman, Democratic congressman. This is what she had to say about that.
What do you expect to happen with the Senate trial going forward, considering what we've heard from Leader McConnell and Senator Lindsey Graham ahead of it?
Well, some of the things I'm hearing from the senators looks like they plan to rig the trial. You know, I think that's a serious problem for the country, but I think it's a problem for Trump as well. President Trump is hoping to be exonerated. He will not be exonerated if everyone knows he rigged the trial. If they're not going to hear any evidence, if senators announce that They've already made up their minds. They don't need to look at the facts. That doesn't clear the president if he's not convicted in the Senate. That's just a political endeavor to protect a man who's guilty of abusing his power.
Yeah, so here's the thing. She has a point, and that's why President Trump wants a trial in the Senate. He wants to call witnesses. But Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, no, we can't call Joe. We can't call Joe. That would just be bad. We can't do that. The president wants an airing. He wants the public to know exactly what's happening. But the Republican senators always never ones to take bold steps are against doing that. I want you to hear Rudy Giuliani did an interview, fascinating, with Laura Ingraham. We're not going to get quite all this clip in, I'm not sure. But I want you to hear Rudy is not giving up. And by the way, I think he's a truth teller. I trust him when he talks. And I want you to hear what he says to Laura. Clip 13.
Maybe they don't believe that there was, in fact, substantial corruption in Ukraine that went on for years, and that the president of the United States, when he asked for an investigation, was doing his duty as the president of the United States. Maybe they buy into some form of the Democratic criticism. But what I uncovered there are two major schemes, one for $7.5 billion, the other for $5 billion. In money laundering that went on all through the Obama administration. Part of it involved Joe Biden, the bribery part. It's a disgrace that he's not under investigation for it in America, maybe because our law enforcement is too afraid. But the reality is, it's a complete defense for the president. When the president of the United States was asking the president of Ukraine to investigate, he was asking him to investigate crimes at the highest levels of both governments that the president of the Ukraine referred to as we, meaning it's our problem, joint problem. So he's being impeached for doing the right thing as president of the United States. Nothing to be defensive about.
You forced out Marie Yovanovitch.
Of course
I
did.
You said you needed her out of the way. But you're a personal attorney for the president. So why do you need her out of the way?
I didn't need her out of the way. I forced her out because she's corrupt. I came back with a document that will show unequivocally that she committed perjury when she said that she turned down the visa for Mr. Shokin because of corruption. The fact is, on the record, in the State Department's own records, the reason given is because he had had an operation and hadn't recovered yet. The operation, of course, was 2 years before. It's documentary evidence that she committed perjury. I have four witnesses who will testify that she personally turned down their visas because they were going to come here and give evidence either against Biden or against the Democratic Party. There's no question that she was acting corruptly in that position and had to be removed. She should have been fired if the State Department weren't part of the deep state. First one to go to the president was Pete Sessions, and then a number of congressmen who said that she was saying that he's going to be impeached. And then when I interviewed witnesses, not just Mr. Lutsenko, four other witnesses, they told me that she was specifically holding up visas in order to obstruct the investigation of collusion
in the
Ukraine.
I'm going to interrupt. We're going to put that entire interview with Laura on our Facebook page. And the reason I played that for you is because that's why the president and Rudy Giuliani and others want a trial. Let's have it. Let's hear the evidence, because the ambassador that testified against President Trump, you just heard what Rudy said about her. There's a lot more evidence, and a lot of Ukrainians are eager to testify. And Joe Biden should be brought before that same body. But you know, the senators are there. That's their buddy. They can't do that. And besides that, the corruption goes so deep. I think on both sides of the aisle, we just have no idea how many people have enriched themselves through other countries, through their service. Why did they become millionaires, after they become senators? There's a reason for that, you know. So we'll see. The vote takes place tomorrow, and we'll be here to talk about it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.